Well, you don't know the name, or you probably don't know the name, Derek Jones. This is a man who has been collecting memorabilia from the Negro Leagues era for more than 20 years. He's got so much now that he has created a traveling museum that goes all over the place, and it is coming to Hillsboro this weekend for a special exhibit that is co-hosted by the Alliance for Historic Hillsboro and Free Spirit Freedom, with support from a bunch of other organizations here in our community. It's going to be on July 1st, Friday, and July 2nd, Saturday, at the pop-up museum at the Witted Building on West Tryon Street during the day. A lot of other events that are taking place on Saturday, especially, with another exhibit to follow for the rest of the month. And joining us now in the studio, you can't see it if you're listening on the radio, but we've got a crowded studio because we've got five people here joining us. We've got Horace Johnson, Rachel Van Hook, Lawrence Van Hook, Dickie Edwards, and from Free Spirit Freedom, Orange County Commissioner Renee Price, to talk about this really cool event. Everyone, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Renee, let me start with you as the representative of Free Spirit Freedom. Tell us about this event, how it came about, and how cool it's going to be in Hillsboro.
Well, it came about rather serendipitously. Derek Jones was just coming through Hillsboro and found out about Free Spirit Freedom, and then we connected by telephone, and we started talking about each other's interests and trying to talk about African-American history. Mm. So one thing led to another, and here we are during 4th of July weekend, and we're going to be talking about one of America's favorite pastimes.
Yeah, and such an interesting and just sort of so often forgotten aspect of America's pastime. There's such baseball is a sport where the fans are just so enamored with the history, and this is such an important part of the history that often gets forgotten. So this is important.
Absolutely, a lot of people don't even know about the Negro Leagues, and I was surprised to find out that we had some stellar folks here in Hillsboro, and then Hillsboro also had its own Hillsboro All-Stars. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, men and women were entertaining one another back in the day, having all kinds of fun.
So we got Rachel, Lawrence, Dickie, and Horace from right to left on your radio dial who are joining us, and y'all were players in the era, right?
Right.
That's correct.
All right. So, Rachel, right? Let me start with you. Tell us about that experience. I don't even want to ask you a specific question. Just tell us about the experience of playing.
Well, I started off with the Hillsboro All-Stars as a bat boy. I started off at about 5 years old.
When was this?
This was back, I was born in 53.
So okay.
At 5 years old, I started off as the bat boy for them, and I continued on to the latter 60s. I came into play right at the tail end of the Negro League. Just before they disbanded, I started playing with them when I was about 13 years old.
Wow.
My father, Lawrence, was a coach back then in the 50s. He played and started off in the 40s with them, but he started coaching the team in the 50s on up through the time. I guess that's how I made my way to the team.
All right. So you played when you were 13 years old, but
yes.
were you playing with the big guys, right?
I played with the big guys.
You must have been really good and really intimidated all at the same time.
Very much intimidated. Yeah, yeah. Had to fill big shoes, but he said if you're going to play, you might as well play with the big boys.
That's true. So where did y'all go?
We went all over. Pittsburgh, Durham, Yanceyville. My dad can tell us a lot more because he was coaching, and he could tell you a lot more as far as the ins and outs of the team because I was at all.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of, you know, a new boy on the block and very much intimidated by the big players.
Well, Lawrence, let me swing the microphone over to you. You coached the team. How'd you first get started? How'd you first get started with the league?
Well, I first got started just playing Saturday in the rural area. But I had a team out around home. Then I went on over to organize a team in Hillsboro All-Stars. And we stayed. I played there for several years and had an opportunity for the majors, but it just didn't get big enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about the most thing I can say about it.
How many years were you involved? Like, it had to have been a couple decades, right?
Yeah, it was maybe 20 years.
What's your favorite story?
What was what?
What's your favorite story from all those times?
You all had a time when
the Hillsboro All-Stars played the Durham Rams.
Oh, yeah.
Brother against brother.
Yeah, right.
He had a brother, Howard Van Hook Flukey, that was, he really had an opportunity to make it to the bigs, but he decided to stay back. But they were playing each other that night. My dad was pitching for the Hillsboro All-Stars, and Flukey was pitching for the Durham Rams. Game ended up 1-0. Favorite Rams. He got a in the park pitcher, got the in the park home run, opposite field.
Nice.
So I know that's one of the highlights because I hear him talk about it all the time.
I bet. We're speaking with, you're hearing from Richel Van Hook, Lawrence Van Hook. We also got Dickie Edwards and Horace Johnson here in the studio, all played for the local Negro Leagues. And Dickie here as well. Dickie Edwards, what's your experience?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank everyone here for inviting us down. And Richard, my career started as a bat boy, too. Uh-huh. So it was back up
it's
in
the best place to start, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate. I'm from Newport News, Virginia, and mm-hmm. I was fortunate to be around called the Newsome Park Dodgers at that time. I was the bat boy, and they had Willie Mays, who was stationed at Fort Eustis at the time. Mm-hmm. And along come Junior Gilliam, Charlie Neal, mm-hmm. and then Roy Campanella.
Oh, nice.
And so as I got older, I started playing with the Newsome Park Dodgers also. But I was just a young teenager who was trying to do something like 12, 13 years old at the time. So, But baseball has always been my life.
Yeah.
Graduated from high school, and I sort of got disappointed because I went to several trial camps with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mm-hmm. Sid Thrift. Everybody know him from the his connection with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, he's deceased now at the time. But the 2 years that I tried off of Pittsburgh was always, you're too small, you have a lot of talent, come back next year.
So. Mm-hmm.
And this particular month, the Indianapolis Clowns were in town. And so I just did this on my own. I tried out. Made the team.
Nice.
And fortunately, it was about 2 miles from my home, the War Memorial Stadium. I ran all the way.
Wow.
Ran all the way home, so excited. Didn't break a stride.
Yeah.
Ran in the house. My mother was cooking.
Pittsburgh should have seen you then. Right?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Ran upstairs, packed some clothes, and the last thing my mother said was, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to play ball." And that was my start with the Indianapolis Clowns at the age of 17.
Wow. What year was that?
This was back in 67, 68.
Okay.
And during the course of that year, and I'm not going to get long-winded because I can go on. But during the course of that year, we were fortunate to pick up Satchel Paige.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, during the course of traveling, he has a little thing that whenever he talks, you get a chair, just like E.F. Hutton, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You want to listen to his tale. So he was telling us about Josh Gibson and Cool Papa Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And we would sat down, being the youngest on the team, you know, it was about four of us. We were just listening and trying to understand black baseball.
Yeah.
And he was telling us about the longest home run ever hit. Josh Gibson hit it out the ballpark, and then a train was coming. Ball fell in one of the cars of the train, and they found it in the next city. Called the longest home run ever hit by a baseball player.
3 miles, right? Yeah.
And then he started this thing about the fastest athlete ever in black baseball. So he went to Cool Papa Bell.
Mm-hmm.
See, he was so fast, he cut the light out, he was in the bed snoring. So, you know, just little small things like that. So, everybody knows that the Clowns was centered around Hank Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Hank Aaron got his start, and everything was based on his performance. So the primary purpose of the Clowns was they had a traveling team called the New York Stars. And at that time, they were signing young ball players to actually play with the Stars against the Clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started out with the Stars until... I guess after getting a couple of hits, a couple of home runs, I caught Ed's eye, Ed Hammer, who was the owner. So he promoted me up to the Clowns.
Wow.
And I guess that was just the start of everything. But the biggest moment I ever had, and I'm like I said, I can get long-winded now.
Yeah.
The biggest moment was when we got to Comiskey Park in Chicago. Something happened in Danville, Illinois, because Satchel Paige was supposed to pitch every game for this Clowns, three innings, and somehow he didn't get his pay. So he went to the next city, and I guess he was kind of ticked off.
Right.
And he jumped on the opposing team, the Stars, to get back with get back to Ed. So after they told us in the locker room what was happening and everything, and we just decided that we were going to go out and just play regular ball.
Of course.
And the first three batters was Billy Bouya from Dothan, Alabama. And we had another kid called Bert Tarbarrow from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Birmingham Sam, of course, he was the main star. And myself, I was the fourth batter.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, everybody had to have a nickname. So being from Tidewater, they called me Tidewater Red.
All right.
Satchel Paige struck out Billy Bouya, and the next three batters got back-to-back-to-back triples.
Oh, nice.
And I was so enthused over that. It just followed me to the present, and I still have that bat.
That's so cool.
I still have that bat after about 40 years.
Just to meet Satchel Paige, but to get a triple off him in Comiskey.
Oh, my gracious.
Oh, my God.
He's... At that time, of course, you know, he had a little age on him because he had been in the major leagues for a while. And just to talk to him and just to hear the tales of what actually happened back in the day with the Kansas City Monarchs and the Graves and of course, the Indianapolis Clowns, you know, it was just amazing. The athletes at that time in comparison to what you see now. Yes, just by meeting Satchel Paige, it was a great, great experience.
Yeah, that's incredible. We're speaking with, again, Richel Van Hook, Lawrence Van Hook, Dickie Edwards. We haven't gotten Horace Johnson in yet, but we're about to, and Renee Price. And we're talking about the history of the Negro Leagues. There is a pop-up museum that's coming to Hillsboro this weekend, Friday from 1 to 5, Saturday from 10 to 4. At the Witted Building. This is a traveling museum of artifacts from the Negro Leagues era and players that's been collected by Derek Jones over the last 20 years. All of this is happening this weekend. Also on Saturday, there's going to be interactive programs at the Witted Building throughout the day, 10 to 11 and 2 to 3, 3 to 4 p.m., a presentation about the Hillsboro All-Stars, the local team hosted by Free Spirit Freedom, also at the Witted Building. Cedar Grove Park is going to host a community softball game and a cookout from 5:30 to 8 p.m. And Renee, this is all free for everyone, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Everyone. So let's get Horace Johnson in on this. Tell us your story. What's your background with the Negro Leagues?
Well, thank you for inviting me. My story is a little bit like Dickie's in a way. I was 15 years old, and this is at the end of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the elder statesman, in a sense, for this group. And we had guys who had played baseball in my hometown. By the way, I'm from Alabama, and as a young fella, Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, we all played satellite ball against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to be good in order to play because these other guys that were coming back, they were excellent ball players.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my start. I actually pitched and played shortstop, but I had a good arm as a shortstop. And the particular game where I got my start was I wasn't supposed to pitch. And they had this gentleman who had pitched earlier. He was an older man, but he was throwing curveballs. He couldn't get anybody out. And back in the day, they said, open up another can of peaches, which meant another pitcher.
Right.
Somebody called, Johnson, get warm. Wow. At 17 years old. So you get up and throw your warm-up pitches on the sidelines.
Right.
And so I got in the game. And in those days, Lawrence can remember, and he might remember, you had a lot of animation. Pitchers and catchers would talk. There was a lot of chatter. And so the catcher started talking to the batters. And he came to me and says, all right, Johnson, put some mustard on it and throw it at his head. Well, I could bring it about 94, 95 miles an hour back then.
Mm.
My first pitch was at the guy's head. He ducked. Second pitch was at his head. And then he said, put a wrinkle on it. Today they call it sliders and they call it sinkers. It was a drop.
Yep.
one finger drop. And the guy twisting the ground like a pretzel. You never heard such cussing in all your life. He pointed and he ran the race. So he got up in the plate to catch the curveball, and I brought some high heat.
Mm-hmm.
Next guy hit a ball in the next week, but it was foul. I ran back and threw that thing. It looked like an aspirin tablet when I turned it loose. He hit it again. Wow. So they got my number. So do that little wrinkle, you know, where you had the progression of signs, sinker ball, curveball, left-hand batter, curl right-hand batter, fastball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had to go through the progression, okay. So I went back then with the heat, the high heat, and he stepped up to catch the curveball, and when he knew anything, catch, said, here it is. Want to see it? We used to talk junk. Show it to him.
Didn't see it before you showed it to him, right? Yeah.
But anyway, that's how I got started, and I got hooked up with the Monarchs at the time. They saw me, and it was interesting. I only played a very brief period of time because the Korean War started, and there was this thing called a draft. And I had my number, and I had a choice of either going in the Army or I joined the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the Air Force, I met one of my teammates, Al. He was second base of Monarchs, and we were stationed together down in Mississippi. So we played service ball in Mississippi, and later, wherever I went, in Arizona, I played service ball, and down in Texas, I played service ball. And then I got out, and my formative years were Pete Fox, who's the scout for the Tigers, had wanted me to try out. But by that time, that window of time when I could have been a pretty good ball player had passed me by. So I got married and came to North Carolina. And they had a team called Hillsboro All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lawrence was on the team at the time. And we won a lot of games. We played in Salisbury, Greensboro, Pond Giants, Pittsburgh, Durham Rams, Fayetteville. They had a league. And one of the best games that I pitched in the Hillsboro All-Stars, Lawrence was supposed to pitch. And we had Gerald McPherson was supposed to catch. But Gerald got mad because they put him at the tail end of the lineup, and he didn't want to catch. So Lawrence had to catch, and I had to pitch. I pitched a one-hit shutout.
Nice.
One of the best ball games that the two of us that I'll take to my grave, remembering that. And he called, "Come on, Horse!" "Why, come on, Horse! Bring it in!" And Lawrence would take me out. But those are some memorable games. There were a lot of the games we'll talk about. I remember one when I was playing with the Monarchs. I was throwing high heat, and I couldn't get the ball over the plate. It appeared. And I got hollered, "The umpire's blind." Well, you know what? He was blind in one eye. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But everything I threw, curveballs, fastballs, he was missing, but he was blind in his eye.
It's a typical umpire, right?
Well,
yeah.
So they took me out. I went to right field. Another guy came in and kind of just lobbed it over so they could hit it, you know, because it wasn't striking people out was out of the question.
All right.
But those are some memories that I had, and I pitched a four-hit shutout down in Texas when I was the Monarchs.
Mm-hmm.
One left-handed guy, I got everybody else out. It was at 9 on Saturday night. Man, that thing was jumping. But this one guy got four doubles.
Long as nobody else got anything else, it's all good. Yeah.
I struck about 14 guys. Everything was ground ball. But it was on a Saturday night. Lighting wasn't the best down in Cuero, Texas, a small town.
Mm-hmm.
But this one guy got four doubles. And then the next game, I remember we played this Hispanic team down in Texas, South Texas. I was throwing high heat. They were hitting everything I threw up there. I said, "Man, put a wrinkle on it." So I started throwing curveballs, and man, they would fall. But those are games sometimes I sit down at night and I talk to my grandson and my son, and we kind of have fun about it. And I had pictures that I showed the fellows when I played with the Monarchs. It was fun times.
Yeah. It's fascinating that the league continues into the 50s and into the 60s, because I think even people who know about the Negro Leagues and who know some of the history, they sort of internalize it in their head that it ended in 1947 when you get Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby, and that's it. But it keeps going for 20 years and beyond, which is another whole fascinating story as well. I want to keep talking to you forever, but we got to let you go. The event is this Friday and Saturday. Friday 1 to 5, pop-up museum at the Witted Building, traveling museum that's been collected by Derek Jones for the last 20 years. So much amazing stuff. That's on Friday, and then it continues on Saturday from 10 to 4 at the Witted Building. Interactive programs over the course of the day from 3 to 4 p.m. Special presentation about the Hillsboro All-Stars. 5:30 to 8 p.m. community softball game and cookout at Cedar Grove Park. This is co-hosted by Free Spirit Freedom. Renee Price here representing them, the Alliance for Historic Hillsboro, also involved in this, Hillsboro Arts Council, Tourism Board, Visitors Bureau, all part of 4th of July weekend. And we'll be talking with Tom Stevens about this in just a second, but don't forget about the 4th of July in Hillsboro as well. A lot of cool stuff as well. And the Orange County Historical Museum is doing a short history of Orange County baseball special exhibit that they're running at the museum on Sherton Street beginning on July 1st, running all through the month. Renee, did I get it all? Or step into the microphone if there's anything else that I missed.
No, you got it all.
All right.
And we also have to thank Hot Tin Roof because they let us do the guest bartending, which allowed us to raise
yes.
some of the money for this. So
yeah.
Got to thank them too. But please, anybody and everybody, it's a family event both days. And if anybody wants to play ball, they need to get in touch with Rachel Van Hook. Mm-hmm. And the cookout, Sue Florence, and they can just contact me and I can get them in touch.
How do they get in touch with you?
919-593-1904.
And keep that number in mind. This is going to be a great event this weekend. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. I am so looking forward to hearing more and seeing more and learning more this weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.